It's now time for Dr. Dean Baird from Mountain Empire Animal Hospital and his pet Puri.
I welcome you in right now to AM910, WJCW, Carl and Alec, and Dr. Dean Baird, who joins us every Monday about this time from Mountain Empire Animal Hospital, 4340 North Roan Street in Boone's Creek. We'll have contact information for Dr. Dean shortly. They sponsor Boone's Creek Animal Hospital, sponsoring this portion of the program. And Dr. Dean calls it Petpourri. Good morning, Dr. Dean.
Good morning, Carl. It's Mountain Empire Animal Hospital, not Boone's Creek Animal Hospital.
I'm sorry, my mistake there. Mountain Empire. It's written right here.
Get right up on that mic, too.
About like this.
Yeah, just okay. Like you like it a lot.
I've been away from the studio, so even though everything is familiar, everything is completely different. So for 3 weeks, I've been away. So it's good to see you again, sir.
I don't hear that very often, so...
Oh, well, okay.
Either that's a nice, honest comment, or you're trying not to hurt my feelings. I'm not sure which it is.
I'm trying to get out of this awkward moment is what I'm doing right now.
Oh?
There we go.
that's my dog excited to see him.
He doesn't get out very much.
Not often, and we try to limit the number of times that he does, yeah. too. So, what you got for us this morning?
Well, we were talking a couple of weeks ago about platelet disease.
I remember.
I was in the process of beginning to talk about
right.
it, and we ran out of time. So I'm going to continue that. There is this condition, which I was in the midst of attempting to explain, kind of because we had talked before about anemia,
mm-hmm.
low blood cell count, the type of anemia that's due to immune-mediated disease, hemolytic anemia. There's a similar condition where the body destroys its own platelets called immune-mediated thrombocytopenia. Thrombocytopenia is just a big fancy word that means low platelet count.
Okay.
So just as a quick review, platelets are the cells that are made by the bone marrow that are the first line of defense against bleeding. So if you get bleeding in the capillaries, platelets clog them up. Probably the most important reason that you don't bleed if you get a cut, really,
mm-hmm.
is platelets. Although there are clotting factors that have your blood clot.
Right.
Continue the process so you don't keep bleeding.
Right.
But platelets are the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you know someone, or if you're someone that takes a anticoagulant drug because you're prone to having blood clots and the doctor doesn't want you to develop one,
mm-hmm.
then most of those people have trouble bleeding because it inhibits platelet function.
Right.
So if you get cut and you're on
Coumadin or something,
then you bleed more because of the platelet problem. So in dogs, what happens is that the body produces antibodies against its platelets and destroys them, which is not a real handy thing to have going on, because we talked earlier about anemia due to hemolysis, meaning red blood cells being destroyed. Well, you can get anemia due to platelet destruction, too,
mm-hmm.
because the animal will bleed.
Right.
If there aren't enough platelets there and
to coagulate,
and this is the really key thing, they don't have to have an injury. They don't have to cut. They will spontaneously bleed, meaning you'll have areas where capillaries are underneath the skin
mm-hmm.
where you'll suddenly start seeing bruises because there's been bleeding occur in those capillary areas because there aren't enough platelets. Now, animal might have got bumped or hit or something, but that doesn't have to be the case.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
One of the reasons that Rocky Mountain spotted fever got its name is that it's a rickettsial infection that, among other things, can cause platelets to be lost,
mm-hmm.
and it causes bruising, and that's why it's called spotted fever, because people get red spots on their skin.
Interesting. Okay.
Which it's a disease of dogs, too.
Yeah.
Same thing. It's mm-hmm. carried by tick.
Right.
So you can get platelet problems with tick-borne disease, in particular Rocky Mountain spotted fever and ehrlichiosis. But that's not a problem where the body's damaging its platelets. Well, it could be. That may be a mechanism. But in the case that I'm talking about, these dogs just all of a sudden start having bruising, or they're anemic, or something's going on, and it's because their platelet count is zilch, or almost zilch. I mean, mm-hmm. a normal platelet count in a dog is usually a 250,000 or more. For bleeding, most of the time, it's usually less than 50,000, although I've seen it happen in cases where it wasn't quite that low. So if the platelet count gets down to 100 or less, we get concerned
mm-hmm.
because this could be going on. And the problem is there's not a specific test that we can do to indicate that the platelet problem is from the body destroying its own red blood cells.
Hmm.
But we will sometimes test them for Rocky Mountain spotted fever and for ehrlichiosis, and or put them on an antibiotic that will kill those two diseases.
Okay.
Such as doxycycline, and also treat them with immunosuppressive drugs to try to get the body to quit killing the platelets or destroying the platelets.
Yeah, right.
I have seen a case of a dog that had platelet problem from this that acutely bled so much that it died from just blood loss.
Oh, wow.
Without an injury. Just bled because of the fact it didn't have enough platelets.
Through its skin?
No, this was internal.
Okay, okay.
Now, they're probably not going to lose enough blood just through bleeding for that to be the case.
Right.
If you get bleeding in body cavity like the lung or the chest, then you can lose a whole lot more blood than you can underneath the skin.
Sure, it makes sense.
Another thing that can do that, which has nothing to do with platelets, is rat poisoning. You mentioned warfarin a minute ago. You know, warfarin is used in people to decrease blood clotting, and that's the way it's used in rat poison to kill rats, is it may bleed to death.
Yeah.
Well, dogs and cats can eat rat poison or eat rats or mice that have eaten the rat poison and lose enough blood to die. And I've seen that happen bleeding in the chest cavity because it doesn't affect platelet. It affects the clotting mechanism.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which platelets are the first thing that happens. The next thing that happens is that you have the clotting factors that are activated in the blood that keep the blood from clotting where they're bleeding.
And this goes right
and
directly to that.
That's what warfarin does, is it prevents that from functioning normally. So
yeah.
I don't know the details, but I know that people that are on warfarin have to be really careful about dose.
I would think.
What their clotting values are and all that, because you don't want it to go too far that way. So I got a little bit off the subject, but it kind of
helps
you understand what we're talking about with what happens. Now, there is a syndrome in dogs called Evans syndrome, where the patient has both hemolytic anemia and hemolytic thrombocytopenia. And as you can imagine, they don't do well.
I would think not. Both bad blood diseases.
Yeah, there. I mean, they're anemic from losing red blood cells, and they're anemic because of bleeding.
Right.
So either of these problems on its own is a serious problem. Serious enough that the patient can become anemic enough to die. And if that part is averted by therapy and sometimes blood transfusions, then there's still the problem of the condition being there and flaring up again and continuing to cause the same problem.
Just lying dormant.
Yeah, I guess that'd be a good way to put it. If you got them on medication and you're actually stopping the process in the body, it's not active at least.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you have to really, really slowly wean them off of the drugs to trick the body into thinking it can function without doing that again.
Right.
And you don't really know whether that's going to happen the way you want it to or not until you try.
Mm-hmm.
That's why some of the patients that have these problems that do well when we're treating them, and by doing well, I mean they get to where their blood values are reasonable and things are quiet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not, their platelet counts up if it's platelet disease, their red blood cell counts up if it's hemolytic anemia, or actually even with thrombocytopenia, a lot of times they're anemic, you know, because they've bled so much, that we try to get them on medicine and get those values stable. And we do it by doing a CBC, which is a complete blood count, which tells you what the red blood cell count, the platelet count, and the white blood cell count are. And you check them every so often, every week or two, and gradually, slowly decrease the medicine that you're using to keep the body from doing that to see if you can get them off.
Mm-hmm. Is that always successful?
No, it's not always
successful.
It is frequently successful. It seems like the ones that are successful are the ones that respond immediately, meaning when you first start doing the treatment, it works.
That immunosystem clicked or something somewhere.
Yeah, something in the body allows it to respond. Because some of these patients will not respond well when you first start trying to treat them, or they respond suboptimally.
Mm-hmm.
And then those are the ones that sometimes you end up having to give another blood transfusion to. And it seems like if you're doing multiple blood transfusions, it's a futile process and they end up dying, because there's just not enough response there to get them in the situation where they can be stable long enough for the body to get back to doing what it's supposed to be doing.
Wow.
Or in this case, for the body to stop doing what it has been doing.
Mm-hmm.
which is actively destroying either one or the other or both of those cell types.
So once it is, quote, under control, or at least on a maintenance regimen, if you would, there, does it stand a chance then of coming back again or flaring up again?
It's always possible it could flare up. The longer out you get from the initial incident without that occurring, the better, which is true, I guess, of any disease.
Hmm.
But you never get it out of your mind.
Oh, yeah.
And we never counsel clients that it couldn't happen again because that's reckless because it can.
Oh, sure.
And some of these patients, we use prednisolone a lot because prednisolone is a steroid, but used at the correct dose, meaning the really high doses, it's an immunosuppressive drug. And what we do is we gradually, very slowly wean them down.
So their own system can begin to pick up?
Well, what you're trying to do is when you give them the prednisolone, it's an immunosuppressive drug, so it stops the immune system from destroying the cells if it works.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then you do that and you gradually decrease the dose to see if the body will continue to not destroy cells at lower doses.
Okay.
And then, and you just keep pushing the envelope. You can continue to lower the dose and then eventually the frequency, meaning even skipping days.
Right.
To see how far you can push it because prednisolone is not something you want to have a patient on indefinitely because of all the side effects that can occur. Of course, it's better than death.
It's a steroid type?
It is a steroid.
Yeah, okay.
And literally, these animals are going to die if you don't treat them with
it.
So you have to walk the line of seeing what the dose is that will prevent them from having trouble on the one hand versus the dose being so low or the frequency being so low that they get a recurrence on the other hand.
Yeah.
And it's really a guess. There is no scripted way to do that. You just keep working it really slowly.
A lot of things to consider there. Dr. Dean got a lot on his plate a lit this morning on Tri-Cities Talk Radio. Okay, well, there you go.
I got a lot on my what?
Plate-a-lit. I love it.
Y'all need to remember that one.
I hope not.
You almost snuck it by me.
Dr. Dean Baird joins us every Monday about 8:15 for Petpourri from Mountain Empire Animal Hospital, which sponsors this portion of the program. How do folks get in touch, Dr. Dean?
I can tell you what, that there is a lot depending on platelet, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You can, best way, I guess, is still to call, even in this age of technology, and that number is 282-3771.
Open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, except for major holidays. Dr. Dean Baird, we'll talk to you next week.